Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
Anytime an election is held, usually the economy will play an important part in determining how many cast their vote. According to the media, most often economic issues will not be overridden by moral issues. That's tragic but true. I remember the Houston Chronicle stating after one particular election when we were living in the Houston area, a humming economy seemed to be a primary factor in the election. This is just one example of how attitudes or priorities affect the choices we make. Some of those choices have a greater impact on our lives than others. Certain choices, however, will affect our lives hereafter. When one chooses the earthly over the eternal, he has made a choice that has eternal consequences. In Philippians 3:17-19, Paul wrote, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame." Notice this, "who set their mind on earthly things." Paul again wrote in Colossians 3:5, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." I'd like for us to notice today four areas in which choosing the earthly over the eternal will result in eternal consequences. We may choose economics over eternity. James wrote in James 5:1-3, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days." Remember Colossians 3:5 we just noted says covetousness is idolatry. A passage in Luke chapter 12, verses 15-21. He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' Then Jesus says, 'So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" In Luke 12, that same chapter, verses 33-34, "Sell what you have," the Lord advises, "and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Yes, there are those who choose economics over eternity. And yet the Lord said so much in His Word about making that wrong choice of choosing economics over eternity. But there are those who choose education over eternity. Remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The Bible makes it clear that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge that leads to eternal life. Verse 5 of that text in 1 Corinthians 2 reminds us our faith is in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 18-21, Paul there wrote, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are saved, or being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Yes, indeed. Some are choosing education over eternity. They are choosing education over eternity. How can we stop it? Well, the home is the key to preparing our children for eternity. We as parents must show them our priorities are in order. We must let them see that eternity is important, far more important than education. And while secular education has its place in proper perspective, we must teach our children that spiritual education is of paramount importance. Spiritual education. And that spiritual education must begin and continue in the home. But we may also choose not just economics over eternity or education over eternity. It is the case that some choose entertainment over eternity. And how do they do so? They do so by simply living a hedonistic lifestyle, enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. And humanism and hedonism go hand in hand. Remember, James wrote in James 5 and verse 5, "You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter." Tragically, that's what many are doing. The majority are doing today. In Titus 3 and verse 3, Paul wrote, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." What a terrible description, and yet it's one that so applies to society as a whole today. Various lusts and pleasures in which they live, malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Tragically, there is application of this entertainment philosophy in the worship of the Lord's church even today. We must ever guard against that. And yet there are those who are more concerned with entertainment in worship than with exalting God and edifying one another, as the New Testament teaches. And so there are those who would seek to bring about a change in the Lord's church. The term change agents, with which many who are listening to me now are familiar, would never have been coined if this trend of entertainment-oriented worship had never developed. Many in the Lord's church have now made their choice. Entertainment over eternity. Of course, our fervent prayer is that they will recognize the seriousness of such a choice, repent and return to the simple and essential pattern of the New Testament church. That is the plea of Truth for the World's radio and television programs, the literature, the outreach in every way. That's the plea of the New Testament church. And Truth for the World is simply a work of the New Testament church under the oversight of the elders of the Duluth Church of Christ in Duluth, Georgia. And the plea of the church, the Lord's church, is that we all lay aside anything and everything that is opposed to the pure teaching of the New Testament and unite on the teaching of the New Testament upon it and it alone. Lay aside the creeds, the traditions, the doctrines of men, the innovations, and simply worship and serve out of pure hearts and pure practice, following the pure pattern revealed to us in the New Testament. But finally, not only may we choose economics over eternity or education over eternity and entertainment over eternity, we may choose earthly relations over eternity. Look at Luke 9, 57 through 62. "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to one another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my Father.' Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You see, Jesus taught the importance of the spiritual family over the physical. "Bury my father" was likely a request to wait for his father to die before this man would follow Jesus. And how did Jesus respond? In Luke 14:26, and again at verse 33, we find these statements of Jesus. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." And then verse 33, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Now, when he says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother," he doesn't mean hatred or hostility, as that word is often used. He means to love them less. That's what the word there biblically means, to love them less. You must love father less than you love the Lord. You must love mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, your own life, less than you love the Lord. He has to be first. Sometimes people fail to obey the gospel because of their living relations whom they believe would be upset by their actions. This is tragic, both for the one who refuses to obey and for his loved ones whom he might influence for good by his own obedience. However, some feel that they will betray loved ones who died without the gospel by obeying the truth and becoming Christians. But Luke 16:19-31 provides the answer. The rich man's attitude toward his still living brothers was an attitude, "Please, I want them to do what is right. I want them to avoid torment." You see, every departed loved one, saved or lost, would want his still living earthly relatives to obey the truth at the first opportunity to do so. And there's another aspect that must be considered here. Those living now as Christians must never allow other living, earthly relations to cause them to make shipwreck of their faith. Our children, for example, must never influence us to compromise truth to justify them in their unfaithfulness. We must make every effort to reclaim our loved ones who are unfaithful, but we must never seek to justify them in their sin, whatever that sin might be. Choices. They are important, some more important than others. Choosing the earthly over the eternal has eternal consequences.